Very interesting. This is the time of week where we check out Fevzi Turkamp. He's editor of GadgetDetective.com and the host of Gadget Detective Podcast. We'll get him on to discuss the latest in tech news, hearing Fevzi's top tech recommendations, and maybe even answering some of your tech questions. Greetings to you, Fevzi.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Let's start with AI, which is where we normally start. I had Stephen Fry on, actually, last week, talking about traitors. I dare say you're playing around with your organ at that point.
My synthesizer.
That's what I meant. What is the matter with you? For goodness sake. This is the BBC. Right. And here's a little bit of what he had to say, you know, about what he felt about its development and where it might end up. It's a minute and 17 seconds. Sit back, Fevzi, and take a listen.
People have strong views about it, that it's full of errors and it's not quite perfect. Well, they have to remember that AI is at a very, very primitive stage. It's like looking at a motor car in 1905 as it futters and putters and belches out smoke and stops, and you have to get out and tweak the magneto and check the carburation and do all the things you had to do in the early days of motoring. And then suddenly, before long, you had motor cars where you couldn't even open the bonnet. Brilliant people from whom we get machine learning and neural networks and so on, do believe that artificial superintelligence, ASI as it's known, is on the way. Whether you call that a singularity or not, it's a deeply frightening possibility. Mm. By definition, we don't understand AI when it's intelligent. This is only the beginning. It's the very beginning. This is they're going to do a huge, clunky mobile phone with, you know, with a battery that you had to drag around, you know, like 10 bricks in 1985. And there's so much investment. Gigantic amount of investment, trillions poured into the big companies that are doing it, and so they're not going to stop because people want their money back. And that's the same people who gave us social media. It's Musk and it's Peter Thiel and it's Zuckerberg. These are the people who are in charge of it. Can we trust them?
Well, thank you, Sarah, and well done for managing to cut me out of all of that. You can hear when I try to get in. He was having none of my nonsense. You know, the bit of it that struck me was where it is in its development, Fevzi.
Yeah, that's exactly spot on, and that's the analogy that I often use about, you know, the motor vehicle, but actually the rate of improvement and the extent of the improvement will far surpass what we've seen with motor cars. So yes, I agree we are in that stage with a hand crank and the guy running in front.
You
with a red
sold
flag.
Me a dream of spinal injury work, brain surgery. I'm tuned on to the World Service and I heard about treatment for strokes that's been carried out by robots operated in different countries. Yeah. And what I see is prepubescent robots that are being developed for the titillation of people who probably need to be monitored anyway. It fascinates and terrifies me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, taking the same analogy, the internal combustion engine is inside the ambulance that saves lives, but is also inside the $100,000 sports car driven by a 20-year-old. So we can use the technology for whatever we choose, and it is all of those things. It is the technology that will scan our brains and allow quadriplegic people to move again under brain control.
And decide you die because you're old.
It is what we allow it to become.
Well, I don't know. Do you read newspapers, listen to the radio, watch the television? Because I'm not sure if you're looking at the people who rule us to make a decision, if it's based in this country, it depends on how politically expedient it is. And I didn't tell you what I think of what happens if it's something based in America. Maybe it's just me and the age I'm at where trust is not really there in spades.
Yeah, I think the UK's got no chance of regulating. You remember when the Americans turned up with Trump and offered loads of money to build nuclear power stations and AI data centers and all of that? Do you really think that they're going to allow us to regulate their technology? Even the European...
You're saying America, huh? Before that, wasn't it the Chinese that were doing the nuclear stuff?
Well, what I'm talking about is because these AI data centers use huge amounts of
water and power.
Well, primarily electricity, and the proposal is to build, I think, 7 new nuclear power stations in the north of England. So, but my point is, even the European Union, who has got AI legislation in draft form, is now talking under pressure about delaying that legislation by a year. And this year is critical, right? And why would it do that? Because it's being pressured primarily by America. We're not pressured at the moment in the same way by China, although there are other forms of problems with China. But almost all the money is being spent on developing bigger and faster versions of technology that we don't understand. And almost none of it is going on safety. And this is why, do you remember when Sam Altman was kicked out of OpenAI?
Yes.
And then came back. And the reason he came back was because the employees were on profit deals. And they wanted him back. They wanted it to be profitable. OpenAI has just finished its migration from a not-for-profit to a for-profit corporation. And, you know, you don't have to talk about trust even. Just look at how much money they are not spending on safety compared to what they're spending on. Imagine you build something that you don't understand and you think, this is good, we'll build a bigger, faster, more capable version of it and something that can ultimately rewrite itself. It's not wise. I mean, I love technology. I mean, I'll be, you know, tweaking it till the day I die. But this is not a good thing. This is not a wise thing. We are clever monkeys, but we are not wise monkeys.
No, we're not. And peanuts doesn't work for us. I think that, you know, I have to be careful not to do with technology what I've promised myself not to do with news. So I try to avoid that kind of news. And I talk about people who are helping people, building things. But I use AI every single day. And I don't think I use it to anywhere near its full potential. And then, yeah, I can see a whole place past that. So we'll do it little and often. Is that all right with you?
Of course.
Well, where are we starting today?
Right. A couple of gadgets from a brand called Kioxia, Kioxia. Most people won't know this brand. Kioxia do solid-state computer memory, you know, portable SSD drives, the M.2 SSDs that pop inside your computer or your games console, for example. And Kioxia is an interesting company because it used to be Toshiba's memory division, so the part of Toshiba. And Toshiba, for those that don't know, developed a lot of the SSD technology back in the 1980s. So they've got this very long history. So although the brand name's not known, they actually developed some of the core technologies that formed the SSDs that we have today. And the brand name means memory technology and value combined. So Axia at the end means value. So the two products we're looking at today from there, one of them is called the Kioxia Exceria, Exceria plus G2. They really have to do something about these names. This is a very small pocketable external SSD. It's available in half a terabyte, a terabyte, and 2 terabytes. Price range between £43 and £140.
It's very good value.
The sweet spot at the moment is the 1 terabyte model, which is £59.99. So it's only £17 more than the half terabyte version. You get double. It's what I really like about it. And sometimes the joy of a gadget is in the detail. With a lot of these sorts of affordable external SSDs, they use a type of SSD chip which slows down rapidly after a while. So it has an initial fast buffer. And when that's expended, when you're doing a long transfer, like a backup, for example, or a video file, it then drops to about a tenth of its speed and stays there because the buffer's has overflowed and we're now using the slower memory. This one doesn't do that. This one uses a more expensive and faster type of memory, which doesn't suffer anywhere near that sort of drop. It still has that fast, what's called a cache memory, but when that's expended, you don't get this huge drop. So it can transfer It can read just over 1,000 megabytes per second, and it can write 1,000 megabytes a second. There are drives that are more expensive that claim 2,000, but almost no one has the type of USB interface that supports that. So, for example, none of the Macs support 2,000 via that type of USB interface. So actually, again, this is a sweet spot because this is the maximum you can get with the USB connector that most people have.
Just a quick one, because you know I like a bug. And when's Black Friday?
I think 28th of November. Right. So it's always worth hanging around. So what you can do, if you're not sure, I mean, I've said this before, I think, if you're not sure if something's going to go on offer, within 30 days, you can buy it from somewhere like Amazon. And if the price drops, they'll either refund you the difference, or if they don't or won't, you buy it again and return the original one within the 30 days.
And we're also looking at Camel, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Right. So, what stars did you say?
4 stars out of 5. It's got good performance and excellent price. So I'm really impressed with this because the brand name's not really known. Moving on, we've got, from Kioxia, we've got the Xperia Plus G4.
The more I live, the longer I live, the longer I know, don't throw anything away because everything will come back.
So this is similar memory, it's a solid state drive, but this time it's called an M.2 memory. And what that means is it's a flat card, about the sort of dimensions of a large stick of chewing gum. It's about 80 millimeters long. And it does hugely fast speeds. It's what's called a PCIe 5 interface. So this is the fastest generation. It'll do speeds of 10,000 megabytes per second for sequential read and 8,200 for writing, which is, again, most machines won't do that. But if you've got a fast gaming machine or a high-end machine that you do AI on or something like that, this is an excellent thing. It's available in 1 and 2 terabytes. The 1 terabyte is just over 100. The 2 terabytes is about £160. Again, 4 stars out of 5, highly recommended.
Right, this is the one I meant. I'm sorry, I forgot you said there were two from
the same. There are two of those, yeah.
Right, so this is the one that has gone so far forward, it's come back. Go on.
Yeah, so this is, so you remember the days of Polaroid cameras.
Well, I don't, but Paul is older than me.
Grandfather would have told you about
indeed,
them, right?
Indeed.
These are instant cameras. So this one is from Fujifilm, who have a range, they've done it for many years, actually. They have a range called Instax, Instax. And this is the latest in that range of instant cameras. And by instant camera, I mean, you take the photo, you see it on the screen like a normal digital camera or a smartphone, but the difference is that out pops a credit card-sized photograph, which you can then share. And, you know, this is a fun technology. This is when you're out for a night out and, you know, you want to take
a little memento back home with you.
Yeah, you know, you just take a picture of yourself, hand it to your
I'm not. I don't know, you know, these young people, I don't know, because it feels like everything's kept on a phone, and I took the photo albums because I'm approaching 20 years, and I took the photo albums to look at how I looked 20 years ago, and it was fairly it was an anomaly for my children. Do you think it will work at that size, credit card size?
Yeah, it is for fun, right? This is not look. Let me explain. First of all, this is called the Instax Mini Li Play Plus. Not to be confused with the non-plus model. This is literally just in the shops now. It's a hybrid instant camera and photo printer. So first of all, it works like, you know, the old-fashioned Polaroids. Snap, out comes the picture, hand it to your friends, put it in the birthday cake, whatever it is. But it's also a photo printer. So let's say you take a photo on your smartphone with that whiz-bang sensor and, you know, maybe a photo you've already got and love. You can just send it wirelessly to this device, and it will print it out for you. So it's also a portable battery-powered photo printer.
How much?
Price is not cheap. It's about $189.99. For that reason, I've given it 3.5 stars out of 5. If it drops, as I suspect it might, to about $150, because it's predecessor model is just under 150 now, then that would rise to 4 out of 5. But the other thing is the running costs, of course. These are not cheap.
You're going to have to, the paper, whatever it's on, you're going to have to keep getting that on you.
Yeah, so it works out, if you buy wisely, it works out about 75 pence a photo. So it's not outrageous, but you don't want to put hundreds of pictures on it, I think.
You know that you can just get the card out, go to Boots and do it, can't you? Know? But they're not on a night out, probably.
If you can still find a Boots that do that. I don't know. I remember taking my photos to Boots. I don't know if they still do it. So it's got a colour LCD screen on the back. It's got a selfie camera as well as a front-facing camera.
Now, what's the quality of the picture like?
Of course it's good. I mean, considering that you're printing on something quite small, it looks good. The colours are good as well. You know, they used to have this horrible green hue to them. That doesn't really exist anymore. And you can get a different set of, you know, the prints, you can get them in different styles and borders and borderless and patterns around it and so forth. So it is a fun thing, but I think it's a very social thing. We don't print photos anymore. And, yeah, you know, I can zap it, I can airdrop it from my phone to your phone or something like that. But ultimately, giving someone a physical photo, I think, is especially these days, is a bit special.
Do you remember the watches we used to have, the Casios? I look around here, the kids at work here, and they've got those old digital Casios again.
With the built-in calculator?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, how long have I got to work with Eddie for or something like that? I don't know what it's working at. It's just weird the way that things come back into you might be fashionable again, Febzy.
Well, I mean, let's hope so. My first digital watch was a Sinclair watch. Remember Clive Sinclair?
Yeah, I do.
And it wasn't LCD technology. It was LED, little red, made out of little red lights on the screen. And you had to press a button and it didn't last very long, the battery. And it was like their old calculators as well. I had one of their calculators. They were amazing.
Are you a gamer? Quickly?
Not really.
No?
But listen, do we have time just to mention what O2 have done?
Because yeah, you got a minute now. If you go, I'll shut up and let you do it.
Okay. So Ofcom, the regulator, brought in new rules in January saying that mobile phone companies, when giving out contracts, had to tell you exactly how much it was going to increase by during the midterm. So normally around 1st of April, they increase it. O2 made a promise that it would increase by a certain amount. It then broke that promise and a couple of weeks ago wrote to its customers saying it was increasing by more than the amount they had promised when people took out the contracts. This is technically allowed by the rules, which mean that the rules are rubbish and need to be amended.
Indeed.
But so the problem was that they used to quote, it will go up by this amount above the rate of inflation, and you never knew what the rate of inflation was going to be at the time. So Ofcom said you've got to give a pounds and pence amount. Now, what the mobile phone companies did is they made the same pounds and pence increase on all the contracts. So the cheaper contracts started going up by about 40%, you know, which is outrageous, you know, when you consider what the actual rate of inflation is. And what O2 have done is they've sent out these notices saying, you know, we told you it's going to go up by this much, but now you're in the contract's gone up by this much. The point of telling you this today is you've got 30 days from the day of you receive the notice to change. And I would advise you either to change your contract to another provider or negotiate it back down. And a good way of negotiating it back down is to request a PAC code. Yeah. So,
yes. So
what you do is you text PAC to 65075.
And the minute you do that, they think you're going to leave, and they are very nice to you.
Yeah. And yes. And I think I'm not sure, but I think it's a way around the 30 day limit, because as long as you request the PAC code within 30 days, I think you then get another 30 days to use the PAC code. So you've got time to look around. Because if this notice has gone into your spam folder, why should you only have 30 days? You should be able to leave without penalty at any time prior to the increase taking place. But they give you 30 days. Some of these letters went out on the 23rd of last month, so some people will have about a week left to do this. And that's my point. So either negotiate a good deal, and the way you do that is shop around and then quote the deals and request a PAC code. So you can either leave and be prepared to leave, and the reason why, you can say, oh, it's only a little bit extra. In percentage terms, it's quite a big increase. But also, all the others are watching what happens with this. And what we need to see is an exodus away or a renegotiation so that no one else gets any bright ideas. And in the meantime, Ofcom should do its bleeding job.
I love when you get on that horse and you can campaign for meritocracy, fairness, equality. I love it. That's the Fevzi I know, and that's the Fevzi that I look forward to talking to every 2 weeks. Have a look at your text. I sent you such a lovely complimentary text, and you didn't even answer me. There is, of course, me asking you for a favour with it, which is probably the reason you ignored it. But I'm waiting for your response. God bless you, mate. We'll find you, Gadget Detective, as Fevzi Turkap, on this show every 2 weeks.